you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. So I want you to pray for us and let's start reading. I tell you what I'm going to do. I believe this will be good. This will just wet your whistle. Look in verse number 2. Chapter 10, verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but say it with me, are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Look with me at verse number 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in. Verse number 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse number 30 with me. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and departed, leaving him half dead. I want you to look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And I want you to pray for me this morning as I try to bring the message God's put on my heart. You can be seated. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here in this place today. Lord, thank you for the good Sunday school hour, Lord. And thank you for Paul's boldness, Lord, to stand before Agrippa. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be intimidated by this world or by the officials in this world because, Lord, our King is not of this world. Our Savior, Lord, is the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would help me, Lord, in this service to be, Lord, concise. I don't want to just preach to be preaching. I want, Lord, the truth of the Word of God to sink down into our ears and to help us, Lord, as it sinks even deeper into our hearts. Lord, I pray for that one that's lost, that this might be the hour they trust Jesus as Savior. Then, Lord, I pray that you would help us that are saved. There's going to be a special emphasis today to us that are saved. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I guess if I were going to title the message this morning, it might be, which side of the road is Jesus on? Which side of the road is Jesus on? Never in my life, Brother Napper, I've studied this story of the Good Samaritan. I've read it. I've preached from it. I've preached from it in this church. I don't have a lot of memory, but I know that I've preached from this story in this church. But never in my life have I looked at the story of the Good Samaritan in its context. I believe there's something that God wants us to learn this morning as we look at it in its context. Jesus starts off, I'll call your attention to verse number 2 where we read a while ago, praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth what? Laborers into his harvest. I believe with all of my heart, if Jesus were here before Sunday school and we had prayer requests, he might stand and say, Pastor, I've been praying this week. There's a great big harvest out there. I've been hearing about the souls in prison. I've been hearing about the souls down there at the motel. I've been hearing about souls everywhere that need to be saved. I believe he might say something like this, Pastor, church, would you all help me pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest? I believe he might say something like this, it's too big for one person. It's too big for one church. Brother Napper, it's too big for one ministry. We need all of God's people to get involved and to be a laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, when he had looked, the Bible said many times when he would look on a crowd, the Word of God said he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep scattered abroad having no shepherd. As Brother Napper mentioned in Sunday school, they didn't have any direction in life. They didn't have any purpose in life. And it broke the heart of the Savior to see people just wandering aimlessly through life when he knows the reason they were created and the reason they were born was to bring glory to him. And so they're missing it. So Jesus starts out here and says, pray that laborers, they're few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now watch this. We mentioned a while ago that Brother Coulter's preaching, and I've been with Brother Coulter this week, and this one thing I know about Brother Coulter, he wants to be used of God. I knew that before we spent this week together. He wants to be sensitive. He wants to know God's direction for his life. He wants to know what God's will is for his life. To these young people that have gathered here this morning, I want to say this. It is a great encouragement to your pastor to have you sitting here this morning. But more than anything in this world, you should want to know God's direction for your life. And it's not too soon to start praying, God, show me your direction for my life. The second thing I want to call your attention to, I'm just looking at the text now, the context of the Good Samaritan. We'll get to the Good Samaritan, but it'll probably be afternoon. My wife said I never did preach a long message, but the introductions and closings are killing us. This is part of the introduction. The second thing I want to call your attention to is in verse number 20. We read it a while ago. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. See, Jesus had sent the 70 out. They were going out two by two, Brother Steve. Great things were happening. They had the power of God on their lives. And Jesus said, you don't have to worry about these serpents. You don't have to worry about the things in this world. Nothing's going to hurt you. Just go do my work and go do my will. I'm going to take care of you. And the Bible said here, the 70, they returned again with joy in verse 17, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus said, boys, now listen, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, you're excited about the wrong thing. They were excited about the service when what they ought to have been excited about was the Savior. He said, howbeit in this, rejoice not. You know, I thought sitting there on the bench this morning, listen to me. I'm not trying to build us up. We better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But there ain't too many churches that can say they've seen five saved in 2 years, let alone 2 weeks. But we could get up and talking about that. But God has said this morning, don't rejoice in that. You better rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Don't rejoice in how many members or how much attendance or how much offering or how many are baptized, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I believe that's what's happened to our rejoicing. We need to get back to that place where we met Jesus, where he sealed our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And realize, beloved, this morning, a lot of things will change, but that'll never change. Hallelujah. My name is written in heaven. I wrote in my Bible in the margin the word laboring in verse number 2 and the word living. Now, I'm going to make a statement this morning. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people aren't laboring. They're not living. They're still dead in their trespasses and sin. You'll never get interested in laboring for the Master until you know the Master. Until you know that your name is written in heaven. A lot of people are confused and fighting doubt. And as long as the devil can keep you wrapped up in your own little circle and your own little self, the world's going to hell around you. And you're not concerned. because you're not even sure if you're living. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I know I'm alive. You say, oh, preacher, oh, we're all alive. We're all breathing. I'm going to tell you something. There's two kinds of life. There's physical life and there's spiritual life. The only way you can get spiritual life is to be born again. The only way you can be born again is to repent of your sin, come to a Savior, and put your trust in Him. Amen. A whole lot of people this morning will never. Oh, you say, preacher, but they go to church. Some of them do. But they'll never labor for the Lord because they're not living. Their name's not written in heaven. You say, preacher, I wouldn't make a statement like that. Let me tell you something right now. Beloved, let me tell you something. Putting a Bible under your arm and even sitting in a good church doesn't make anybody Christian. There's a whole lot of them put a Bible under their arm. Well, there's a whole lot of them didn't even worry about doing that. Got in a pulpit this morning or sat on a stool this morning like a preacher talked about a while ago. And they call themselves a preacher and they're not even living. They're not even alive in Christ. Blind, leading the blind. That's what the Word of God said. Beloved, living, laboring, living. Now watch this. Come down with me in verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Jesus done told all this, and here comes the lawyer. There's always somebody wanting to stand up in the face of Jesus, say amen. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to stand up in His face. I want to kneel at His feet. I don't want to straighten Him out, Sister Sharon. I want Him to straighten me out. He ain't the one that needs to be straightened out. You and I are the ones that need to be straightened out. Watch this now. I got another word for you in just a moment. The certain lawyer stood up, tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That word tempted Him, it means He's trying to trip Him up. He's trying to trick Him. Guess what? You can trick me and you can trip me up, but you can't trip Him and you can't trick Him. Amen? You can't trip Him up. He's got the right answer every time. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 26. And He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So this lawyer was probably a Jew. And he knew the Word of God. But I find it questionable as to whether he knew the God of the Word. Why would somebody that knows the God of the Word be interested in tripping Jesus up? Watch it with me. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm taking it the order it comes in the chapter, but really the order it comes in experience is this. Living, God gives us life. Loving, honey, the moment you meet Him, you fall in love with Him. And then laboring. That order gets mixed up, Brother Steve. You got somebody trying to labor that's not living, or somebody trying to love that's not living, or somebody that's living and trying to labor without loving. You got a mess. That's when the work of God, listen to me carefully, becomes a burden instead of a blessing. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. The problem in the work, beloved, is not the work. The problem is not being yoked up the one that knows how to do the work. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You don't have to rest from the work. You get to rest in the work. Because you're in the yoke with Jesus. Loving Him, He's loving you. So I see the word laboring. I see the word living. I see the word loving. And then I'm going to skip a word and go to verse number 40. I see the word listening. I believe all of these are important. And the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. Actually, it changed the order up a little bit. Martha, you remember, Jesus came down. Martha received Him into the house. She had a sister called Mary, which also, what was she doing? What was Mary doing? Sitting at his, doing what? Hearing his word. Brother Napper, you've been down this trail. You know what it is to try to do the work of God without sitting at his feet. How many can relate to what I just said? Sunday school teachers, anybody that's ever tried to do anything for God, say amen. You know the difference, amen, between standing up after sitting at his blessed feet and getting orders from headquarters and doing your own thing on your own agenda, on your own time. See, you can be doing the right thing for the wrong reason. But you sit at his feet and you'll leave there doing the right thing for the right reason, because you love him. So the order would then become living. He makes you alive. Loving. You go to loving on him. Listening. Honey, there wasn't nobody in this world had to tell me the importance of this book when God saved me. Amen. I knew I needed some time to sit at his feet and hear his word. And I still need that today. And no wonder you go right into the next chapter. Give us day by day our daily bread. Part of that's physical, but part of that's spiritual. We need the bread of God. We need the bread of life. Right in the middle of all of this now, there's the word living, the word loving, the word listening, the word laboring. Right in the middle of all this is the man that's lost. Why is it important that we live? Why is it important that we love? Why is it important that we listen? Why is it important that we labor? Because we're living in a world that's full of lost people. Watch this. Jesus, verse number 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him. How many remembers why the devil came, the enemy? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But that enemy, the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many remembers that? Watch this now. Jesus said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. I want you to put a little bit of emphasis on that word him. I'm going to come back to that in just a little while, okay? Him. Him. That picture of a lost man. Him. Let's put him right here. Right here. Ethan, come here and be him. You can't sit up, Ethan, because, and I'm not going to strip him. Sit down there, buddy. Sit down there. Lay down. This man's half dead. He's been beaten to a pulp. He's laying there. They probably took his clothes because they were worth something. They're thieves. They beat him. They wounded him. And they left him half dead. Him. Everybody got your eyes on him? I'm going to ask you a question. Let's go on through the story. Which side of the road's Jesus on? Over here, let's read it here. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he went by on the other side. How many can guess where Jesus is not already? Watch this. And then you got a Levite. Likewise, a Levite. When he was at the place, he came, he looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. Is anybody getting a hold of this? Somebody tell me which side of the road Jesus is on. Oh, I'm telling you what, if we'd go out of here this week with our eyes wide open, if we'd go out of here this week knowing that we're living, knowing that we love him with all of our heart, knowing that we're listening, sitting at his feet, I believe we'd be knowing we want to be a laborer and that we don't want to just look on a need and go by on the other side. But we want to look and do what we can to be a help, to be a blessing. Watch what the Word of God said here. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, I can't read this, Brother Napper, years ago the Lord showed me this. Listen to me carefully. I can't read this without thinking about two words. The Bible didn't say by chance a certain Samaritan. It said as he journeyed. This Samaritan was going somewhere. Somebody help me. He knew where he was going. He was on a journey. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you living your life by chance or by choice? Do you just go through life, and well, if I happen to run into somebody that needs something, I might do. Or are you looking for somebody to be a blessing to? Are you looking? I hear preachers say this, Brother Napper. They say, you can't find anybody anymore that's lost. You know the problem? They ain't looking. How many of you yesterday on visitation had somebody to acknowledge that they did not know Christ? Look at the hands. There'd be a whole lot more hands if a whole lot more people went. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you the side Jesus is on. Don't you go to sleep on me, Ethan. Son, it wouldn't be pretty if you go to sleep and start snoring on me. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Which side's Jesus on? Somebody help me. Which side's he on? Is he over here, Brother Lance? Over here with this priest? Oh, he looks good. Look at his garments. This Levite? Oh, he knows the law inside and out. Or is he over here with a Samaritan, that half-breed, that the Jews would go out of their way to go around that country instead of going through that country? That's why Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman down there that needed help. Let me say this. The Bible doesn't say this, but how many realize this? She was wounded. Boy, I didn't plan on saying on this good. How many realize she was stripped? How many realize this? She was not just half dead, she is dead in her trespasses and her sin. It's what the Word of God teaches. And Jesus went to her. Watch this now. Help me. The Bible said here, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, according to the Word of God, he didn't even think about it. You want to know why? I believe he was living. I believe he was loving. I believe he was listening. And I believe he knew the only way he could be a laborer was not to shun him and go the other way, but to go where he was. Let me read this right quick. He bound up his wounds. Brother Steve, this is first aid, isn't it, brother? Now listen to me carefully. I don't know this for sure. Chance this man may have had a backpack on or something he had a beast of burden. He may have had something packed up. He may have taken his own shirt off and taken his knife and cut it up in strips. I don't know, but I do know this. The Bible said, he bound up his wounds, pouring in wine. Wine in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, beloved, this man didn't need somebody to step on him. This man needed somebody to lift him up. Let me tell you what sinners are. Sinners are just exactly what they always have been, and they're just exactly what they're supposed to be. Beloved, you listen to me. The problem's not with sinners in our generation. The problem's with the saints. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we'll be seeing multitudes come to Christ. When we get on the side of the road, Jesus is on. But we pass by on the other side. I don't say this. Brother Coulter and I tried to be sensitive last week. We went to Walmart. There was three young ladies, like our young ladies, sitting on the corner at Walmart. No, not near the store, way out at the edge of the parking lot. And I'm just going to tell you this, they were very, very receptive. I don't know how many people this week said they would watch that video, Brother Steve. I don't know how many people said they would. If half of them watch it that said they would, then there are going to be a bunch of people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me carefully.
The Bible said here he had compassion on him. He went to him. Can we have compassion without going to him? Can we have compassion without meeting the need? Pouring in oil, pouring in wine, and set him upon his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Matthew, there's a him out there. I won't run into him, but you will. And you've got two options. You can say, well, I better get away from that. Or you can go to him. And you say, well, Matthew might say, well, Pastor, I don't know a whole lot. Do you know what Jesus did for you? He don't know that yet. He's dead in his trespasses and his sin. I believe one of the greatest things we could ever tell anybody is what Jesus means to us and what he's done for us. Listen, the scripture, you can learn just a few verses. If you didn't have, I forget who it was. I believe it was Carl Hatch that led over 100 men to Christ on the job before he learned his second verse. The first verse was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he'd go tell them, God loves me. God loves you. He don't want you to perish. He wants you to have everlasting life. And he told them with fervor in the Spirit of God. He told them, having come from living, being made alive in Christ, having come from listening, having come from loving, and he wanted to be a laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, he took him to an inn. He said, take care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And he said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Think about that for just a moment. Even all that he did, I could see a man thinking, well, I've done all I can. This man said, no, this might not pay the bill. I'll be back through here. Maybe he didn't have any more right then, but I'll be back through here. And Mr. Innkeeper, you take good care of him. Everybody's glad God has an innkeeper. Listen to me carefully. Which side of the road is Jesus on? The Bible said here, when I come again, I'll repay thee. The Bible said in verse number 36, which now of these three? You got three. Brother Ike, you got a priest. You got a Levite. And you got a Samaritan. Which one? Which one of these three? Jesus said, remember all this started with the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That's what Jesus said. This lawyer asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And the Bible said this, he said, willing to justify himself. Listen, I love every one of you, but you can sit there and justify yourself till Jesus comes. It'll never work. There's no reason for a child of God to be standing over here. None. We're living, we're loving, we're listening, and we're laboring together with God. Which side of the road is Jesus on? Somebody tell me which one was neighbor unto him. Look at your Bible. I don't know what verse it is. Read it. Read it, Brother Steve. Holler it out pretty loud so they can hear you. Which one was neighbor? I guess it's verse number, let's see. Verse 30, read 36 and 37, Brother Steve, both of them. Even a lawyer got it. Even a lawyer said, well, there's no comparison between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan. The lawyer got it. He said the one that showed mercy on him. You know what this world's in need of? Mercy. Watch this now. I saw three things here. I wrote down three things quickly. I saw the sinner's condition. It's pictured here. The saint's compassion, that's pictured here. But there's something else pictured. Brother Steve, you just read it. That's the Savior's commission. He said, go thou. and do likewise. I'm not real smart. But let me tell you what that says in East Tennessee language. Don't be like the priest. Don't be like the Levite. Be like the Samaritan. Is that pretty good? Don't be like the priest. Lady said to me yesterday, she said, well, I went to a church a while back, and she said, I really didn't feel right. I didn't have a dress. You know what I told that lady? I said, honey, you come on, just wear the best you got, and you come on. And I said, I will tell you this. If you want a dress, you let some of our ladies know, and they'll get you a dress. I said, if you'd be more comfortable in a dress, I said, I guarantee you that some of our ladies got dresses they ain't wearing. And I said, I guarantee you my wife will take you somewhere and get you a dress if you want a dress. I believe you'll see this lady before long. She just needs somebody to care. She just needs somebody to love on her. She needs somebody to don't go down the other side over here with the priests and the Levite. They just come alongside. A commission. Now, I'm not going to turn to the script. Yeah, I am too. We're doing good. I usually don't get done till 20 after, and it's not even 10 after yet. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Turn with me to the... book of Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. I know where it's at, but I'm nervous. I'm having a hard time finding it. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at this with me. You doing all right, Ethan? Okay. Well, if I hadn't got no response, I'd been over checking on him. Look at verse number 21. The Bible said unto him, be glory in the church. Now, you know that's talking about the Father there. The Bible said, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'm going to ask something this morning, and you may disagree with me. One preacher said, you have a right to be wrong. But what could possibly, Brother Tim, what could possibly bring more glory to God than a sinner coming to know Jesus as their Savior? Are we on the same page right there? How many believes that brings glory to God anyway? We won't argue over whether that's the thing that most brings glory to God. But the Word of God said this, there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. I believe heaven lights up. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. It's not talking about the angels rejoicing, but there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Jesus said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sit down at the right hand of God the Father. Okay? You got somebody that's living. Boy, thank God I've been made alive in Christ. Somebody that's loving the Lord, loving their neighbor as theirself. Somebody that's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. Somebody that's laboring. Then you've got a church that's going to experience the glory of God Almighty. You say, preacher, this guy ain't got nothing to do with serving God. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 25, I believe it is. Okay. Let's start reading in verse number 35. Are you ready? How many's ready? Got it. Okay. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. How did that Samaritan find this guy? Naked. He was stripped. He was wounded. He was left for half dead. Watch this now. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thou we a hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, everybody listen, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. I believe it's an impossibility to ignore him and give glory to him. Maybe it's quiet because God's digging around us. Breaking up some fallow ground. Let me make that statement again. I believe it's impossible to ignore him. The Bible's got verses over there in the book of Proverbs when it's within your hand, in your power, to help someone. Beloved, we're supposed to help them. I'm not preaching a social gospel. What that man needs more than anything is not clothes. It's Christ. But he's never going to care what you know about Christ until he knows that you care about him. Why are you interested in him? Because what I do for him, I bind up his wounds. I pour in the oil. I pour in the wine. It's just the same as if I was doing it for the one that loved me and gave himself. Do you all believe the Scripture's teaching that? It's just the same as if I did it for my Savior. Because inasmuch as I've done it unto the least of these, he said, you've done it unto me. Beloved, which side of the road is Jesus on? Sit up there, Ethan. Thank you, buddy. You've been a good dead man. We finally found out something he can do. Amen. I had that liberty with Ethan because I believe Ethan already loves his pastor. And I believe Ethan already knows his pastor loves him. He ain't been here that long. But if he tries to leave, he will be dead. I'll kill him. Question. I want y'all to point. Y'all are out here with me now, okay? So that way would be to the right. That's where Ethan was laying. That way would be to the left. Okay, has everybody got it? That's where the priest and the Levite is. I want everybody to answer this question. Which side of the road is Jesus on? I'm looking. If I see somebody pointing to the left, I'm going to throw a songbook. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Listen to me. Won't be no pointing right here. I want the Holy Ghost to point inward. I want him to point right here, Brother Rick. Which side of the road are you on? Only you can answer that. Your Savior knows. And down deep in your heart, you know. Do you have life? Have you been to Calvary? That's what the young people sang the other day. And by the way, it better not be too long till they sing it again. Amen, Brother Mike. I've been to Calvary. That thrilled me. Do you love him? If you've been to Calvary, Brother Thurman, I believe anybody been to Calvary fell in love with him right there, don't you? They didn't need nobody to teach them how to love him. They got up from there, they couldn't believe that somebody would love them and forgive them for the mess that they had made in their life. They couldn't believe it. And they fell in love with the Savior. Then it wasn't too long, Brother Houston, that old Bible, it just come alive. And you just couldn't wait to read another verse and another chapter. Who was it this morning, Brother Napper? You were talking about telling the little stories. Read another little story in the Word of God. And then that wasn't enough. Somebody stood up in a church and said, we need a van driver. God began to finger around in your heart. Said, I want to be a laborer. Somebody stood up in a church and announced a visitation, and somebody began to finger around in your heart and said, I want to be part of that. I want to do what I can. Somebody stood up in a church and said, we need to pray for this individual. And maybe you've never prayed in the church, but there's a God in heaven keeping the record. And he knows back there in the closet, every time you bowed your knee, said, oh God, help my pastor. Oh God, help that individual that I run into over there on the other side of the road. Lord, help them. God knows about all that. Nobody had to beg you to start putting money in an offering plate. I like what Brother James said to me. I hadn't been here too long, and we started the Mission Expansion Fund on Wednesday night. I guess we was about a year into it, Brother James. And Brother James said, Pastor, when you started that, I didn't think you'd get nothing. Now, if Miss Eve got a hold of you, you'd say, I didn't think you'd get anything. Amen, Brother James. You're welcome, Miss Eve. Brother Napper, Brother James said, it looks like I'm going to have to start putting more in. There's a man in this church that told me he started giving to that, and God started blessing his finances. And he said, Preacher, it's just unreal what God's doing. Let me tell you something, beloved. You don't have to believe me. The book of Malachi said, you try me. God said, you try me. See if I won't pour out on you a blessing. When we give our tithe, we give the Lord what belongs to him, and then we start to give. Amen. How many believe that's still the book? These youngins need to be taught, if you've got a dime of it belongs to Jesus. If you've got a $10 bill, a dollar of it belongs to Jesus. Little boy walking down the street with two quarters, flipping them. Guy said, what you doing there, man? What you got? He said, I got two quarters. He said, what for? He said, one's for the Sunday school offering. He said, the other's for ice cream after church. About that time, he dropped one of them, and it rolled down the storm drain. That little boy said, Lord, there went your quarter. And we laugh. But where does quarter go in your life? Huh? Which side of the road's Jesus on? Point for me. Which side of the road are you on? Don't point. That's a good question, ain't it? Brother Steve, if God will help me, I want to be more sensitive the rest of my days to what's going on that side of the road. Help me. Help me, Jesus, to be more sensitive to what's going on that side of the road. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to open this old book. Lord, I didn't just open the book, but Lord, you opened my heart. I believe you're opening hearts this morning. I believe, Lord, you're speaking to hearts this morning. God, I believe you're speaking to that heart that's unsaved. I believe you're speaking to that heart. Lord, they know their name's written in heaven. But just as sure as they know that, they know that they're spending their life on the wrong side of the road. Some used to read that Bible, Lord, and it used to be such a blessing. It's been laid aside. Some, Lord, used to, they'd never think about eating a meal without thanking you for it. And that's been laid aside. God, I'm praying for revival. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts. Help us, Lord. God, help us to live our lives on the right side of the road. Over there, Lord, is where we can labor. In order to labor together with God, we have to get on the right side of the road. Because, Lord, you're not on that other side. You're not on the side that just looks and sees the need and then goes away and does nothing about it. But God, you commended your love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.